I'm going to preach to you this morning, amen, with the help of God, I hope. Luke 16, and we're going to go to 2 Peter 3, then Ezekiel 33, then Revelation 22, and then we'll preach a little bit. Luke 16, look at verse number 27. The Bible said, "Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment." Let me pray and then we'll read the others. Father, we sure thank you for you and all you've done for us. I need your help this morning in preaching. I thank you for the Holy Ghost of God, how he's already met with us this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the music and the worship and singing. God, I pray now that you bless, you speak to hearts. God, that we not just go through a service, but Father, I pray that you give something to God's people. They'd be able to leave here this morning, Lord Jesus, with help, strength from the Word of God. And if there be anybody here today that's not saved, I do pray for their soul. God, they've received Jesus Christ as their Savior. Maybe a young person, maybe a mom or a dad or an elderly, I don't know, but God, you do know. And Father, we ask for your help now. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. We find here in the Bible a very familiar text where the man, the rich man, we call him, is in that place called hell, awful place. And he is, of course, asking for somebody to go to his five brethren that they may testify unto them, lest they also come into that place of torment. But if you would, look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9. Then we're going to go to Ezekiel 33. I want to read you these verses, 2 Peter 3, verse number 9. The Bible said down there, it says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is..." This is God right here. "But is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Ezekiel chapter 33, verse number 11. Ezekiel 33, verse number 11, and then I'm just going to read Revelation 22 to you. Ezekiel 33, verse 11, here's what the Bible said. "Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure..." Listen to what God said. "I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live." He said, turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die?" The Bible said in Revelation 22, 7 and 17, we'll go to this later on, "And the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst and come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." We read here in the Bible these verses and they remind us of the call of God throughout the Bible for sinners to come to Christ. And for sinners not only to come to Him, but to come and repent of their sins. So according to the Scripture, God, the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, He pleads with them, He calls, He warns, He invites every person, did you hear me? Every person on the face of the earth to come to Christ before it is eternally too late and be saved from their sin debt. Now, I want to say to you, friend, dear friend, here's what the Bible said. The Bible said that God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. That's what the Bible said. Now, on the other hand, there might be those of us that may look at the wicked and say, well, that's what they deserve. Are we not guilty, friend, as those that are saved people, to look at certain people around the world? We can name different groups and different sects of people that have caused much turmoil, much trouble upon the face of this earth. And we can say, you know what they deserve? They deserve to be dead. They deserve to be killed. They deserve to die and go to a devil's hell. And can I say to you, they may deserve to die just like us, friend. But I say there is a God in heaven that said, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. That's what God said. Now, it has always been God that sought after sinners. From the very beginning of time, you find that He sought after Adam and Eve. He came looking for them. The Bible says in Genesis 3, 9, "And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou?" That's God looking for Adam. And then we find in Luke 19, 10, the Bible said, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." You know what that is? That's God looking for mankind. You see, friend, many people think, well, how could God send a good person to hell? He's a loving God. He wouldn't do that, would He? Well, I want to say to you, friend, the Bible said, that as is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. He said, there is none good. There's none that doeth good, I'm sorry. That's what God said. So I say to you, dear friend, if anybody goes to hell, it's not God's fault. because God has done everything He can do to stop people from going to hell. In other words, He sent His Son to die on the cross and take our hell. He raised from the dead. He sent the Holy Ghost to woo us and draw us to Christ. He has given us the Bible to instruct us and teach us how to be saved. So therefore, dear friend, it's not God's fault if anybody goes to hell. It's their own fault. If they will not heed to the loving call of God, there's nothing else that God can do. The Bible said, for God so loved. That's just that little phrase right there. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. He said in Psalm 124, verse 4, He said, refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. And there may be some here this morning, like the psalmist, that thinks, well, no one really cares about me. No one cares about my soul if I die and go to hell or if I don't. More than likely, if you're lost here this morning, there's somebody that cares for your soul. I want to preach for a little while on this subject. Who cares if they go to hell? Why should we care? We're saved, right? Well, Jim, we're on our way to heaven, right? How about it, church? We've got a wonderful place to come. Got a great man of God that preaches the Word of God to us. Most of us got a pretty decent vehicle and a pretty decent place to live. We got good jobs, amen, a little bit of money here and there to go this and do there. We can come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday school. Man, we got it made. We're on our way to heaven. So who cares if anybody goes to hell? We're going to heaven. Let me give you some that I think care. Number one, God the Father cares if they go to hell or not. The Bible says, 2 Peter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. For listen to what God said, not willing that any should perish. That's what the Bible said about the Lord. Peter telling us that, but that all, you hear that, all should come to repentance. And I say to you, church, there's a crowd out there that believes some are going to hell and some are not, and there's nothing that anybody can do about it. But I say, God help their ignorant spirit to think that they're wiser than God. My Lord said this. He said He's not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. You say, well, my neighbor, if you knew him, you'd think he deserved to go to hell. Well, we do too. He also said this. He said, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. And if God did not care, then He would not have went looking for Adam and Eve. You see, friend, God cries out to Adam. He said, Adam, Adam, where art thou? Now, of course, we know God knew where Adam was, but He wanted Adam to know that He was seeking him. God cared about Adam and Eve because He made a way for them to be forgiven that very moment. So we find that God Himself killed that lamb with His own bare hands, shed His blood, made a way, amen, for Adam and Eve, friend, to be forgiven that very moment. And He made a way for the whole entire world to be forgiven of their sins so that they don't have to go to hell either. And so another lamb was slain whose name is Jesus Christ. So I say to you, dear friend, God the Father cares if they go to hell or not. Listen to what God said. God said in Romans 10:21, He said, all day long I've stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. He said in Isaiah 45:22, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. He said, for I am God, and there is none else. He said in Isaiah 55:7, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Can I say to you, dear church, that God calls, He cries, He pleads, He woos, He seeks, He shows goodness, He draws, He loves. God has done what He can do to call the world to His Son because He's not willing that anybody perish and die and go to hell. The Bible said over there in 1 Timothy, He said in chapter number 2, verse number 4, I believe it is, who will have all men to be saved? There's not a person on this earth that God does not want to be saved. His will is that all come to the knowledge of truth and trust Christ as their Savior, but many have rejected His will. So I say to you, dear friend, who cares if they go to hell? We may not care, but God cares. Let me give you somebody else, real simple. The Lord Jesus Christ cares if they go to hell. Listen to the words of Jesus. He said in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Jesus said in John 6:37, all that the Father gives me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. He said in John 4:14, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Jesus said, friend, according to the Scripture in Isaiah 55:1, the Lord, of course, He said, ho, everyone that's thirsty, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. So in other words, the Lord Jesus Christ sends out a call for anybody, and all that will come can come to the water of life freely. Listen to this, church, without money, without price, regardless of who they are. He said, I will in no wise cast you out. He calls for the one that is laden heavy with sin, those that are guilty of the vilest of sins. He said, I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest from sin. I'll wash you completely white as snow. I'll forgive you for everything that you've ever done. Everything that you're going to do from the past to the present, friend. And these are not the words of someone that wants somebody to go to hell. Instead, these are the words of our lovely Lord crying out to a world to come to Him. The words that He spoke and the things that He did, listen church, was because He cared for sinners. When He healed the blind man, it's because He cared for sinners. When He healed the lame man, it's because He cared for sinners. When He healed the impotent man, it's because He cared for sinners. When He helped the maniac and demoniac man, it's because He cared for sinners. When He sat on a well hungry and helped a woman instead of eating, it was because He cared for sinners. When He forgave an adulterer instead of stoning her, it was because He cared for sinners. When He broke up a funeral and raised the dead, it was because He cared for sinners. When He wept at Lazarus' tomb, it was because He cared for sinners. When He was mocked, friend, and beat on and spat on and His beard plucked out and beat with a whip and had the crown of thorns beat upon His head, and He was crucified, and He was pierced, and He went to hell for you and I. It was because He cared for sinners. The Bible said He made Himself no reputation, took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found, He said, fashioned as a man, He humbled Himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Why? For sinners. The Bible said when He was mocked and hanging on the cross in agony, He cried out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Why? For sinners. He cared so much for sinners, He forgot about His suffering. He forgot about His pain. Preacher, He forgot about His agony. And He answered the heartbroken cry of a sinner to save his soul and said, today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Why? For sinners. If anybody goes to hell, they'll go with the greatest care and the greatest love that has ever been known to the world. And that is the love and care that the Lord Jesus Christ has shown to all that has ever taken breath. So who cares if they go to hell? Let them go to hell, right? God cares. Jesus cares. Let me give you another one. The Holy Ghost cares. The one that lives inside of you. There's another call from the Word of God, Revelation 22:17. We read it. Let me read it again. It said, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Come, He said, and let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, He said, let him come. Let him take of the water of life freely. So in other words, right at the end of the book of the Bible, right, the last book of the Bible that we got, before the close of that book, the Bible teaches us that the Spirit of God makes one more call to all those that would like to come. And He said, the Spirit, the Bride said, come. In other words, the Spirit has been assigned to us as our Comforter. He's calling to all that will come. I said to all. He's calling anybody that wants to come, to come. And when the Lord calls His bride out, amen, we're looking forward to leaving this place. And when He calls us out of here, those that are saved, amen, then the Holy Spirit of God will leave also. So it's only natural that at the end, when it's all coming down to an end, the end right there we find in Revelation when it's almost all over, before the bride leaves, the Bible said the Spirit and the Bride say, come. The Holy Ghost cares. The Bible said, nevertheless, in John 16:7-8, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. He said, but if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He is come, talking about the Holy Ghost,
He said he will reprove the world of sin and righteousness and of judgment. So because of the mercy of God, He has sent the Holy Ghost into this world. He's here right now. And His primary reason is to comfort the saints. Thank God for that. And to convict the world of sin and cause sinners to repentance. So there's no doubt that the Holy Ghost cares, or He wouldn't be here. May I say, if the Holy Ghost cares, then there's no doubt He's the one that is calling. He's the one that is convicting. Stay with me. He's the one that's doing the wooing. He's the one that is knocking on hearts and doors. He's the one that is pleading. If there is a way that the Holy Ghost can approach a heart, He'll do it. Why? Because He cares for sinners. There might be someone here this morning, you're lost and on your way to a devil's hell, and you wonder why you always have that feeling. I'm not talking about a satanic struggle where Satan's trying to cause trouble in your heart and your life. You know you're saved. You know you're on your way to heaven. I'm talking about somebody that knows they're not saved and know that if they died, they wouldn't go to heaven. And you wonder why you got that feeling in your heart, that hammering. I'm talking about where you wake up in the middle of the night and you worry about dying and going to a devil's hell, and you feel that conviction. You maybe a mom or dad on their deathbed said, "Meet me in heaven," and something has gripped your heart and told you that you wasn't saved, and it's knocking on your heart's door, and it's there. What is that? I'll tell you what it is. It's the Holy Ghost of God, because He cares for sinners. Dear friend, if the Holy Ghost is calling you, answer His call. God cares. Jesus cares. The Holy Ghost cares. Let me give you something else. Those in heaven care. I want you to look at Luke 15:10. Look at Luke chapter 15:10. I don't know what most people think about this, but it's not hard to understand. The Bible said in Luke chapter number 15:10, if we get this right here in our heart, it'd help us. Luke 15:10. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. I'm not going to try to explain things away in the Word of God, but I believe with all my heart that those are the ones that are saved. I believe, let me say this, I believe the ones that are doing the rejoicing here are the redeemed of God. I believe it's those that have gone on before us, those that have walked the path that we are walking down now, those that know about our trials and our temptations and all that we go through. I believe they are the ones that are in the presence of the angels, and they are the ones doing the rejoicing. And yes, I believe they care if somebody goes to hell or not. Some may wonder, well, can they really see what's going on down here? I'm reminded of the verse in Hebrews 12:1. I don't know how much they can see or what God allows them to see, but you cannot refute the Word of God. Hebrews 12:1 said this, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed," He said, "about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight." That's talking about down here. He said, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." So in other words, friend, in Hebrews 11, Paul just got done speaking about the heroes of faith. And he said in chapter 12, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." What is he talking about? He's talking about those heroes of faith. He said, you see, that word compassed means completely surrounded. The idea here is the Roman arena where the players are down on the ground in the center while those in the grandstand are cheering their team on back in Roman days. So can I say to you, Paul is likened the Christian life, if you would, unto that with those that are in the great cloud of witnesses, friend. And here we are today in the race. We still are here. We are on the course still that God has put us on. We are completely surrounded by those that used to be in the race. And they are looking down upon us, and I believe with all my heart, preacher, that they are cheering us on. The Bible talks about being compassed about. That means completely surrounded. I'm talking about, friend, we can't see them, but they can see us. And we're in the race, if you would. And they're watching us, and they're cheering us on. Now think about all those heroes of faith like Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Moses and Rahab and those that were martyred for Christ. So think about those that were crucified, burned at the stake, beheaded, sawn asunder. They were stoned and tortured and tormented for Christ. What about men like Peter and James and John and all the disciples and all the apostles? What about men like Jeremiah and Elijah and Elisha and Ezekiel and Daniel and a host of others? What about the preachers of the past that you and I have known? What about maybe a mom or a dad or a grandma or a grandfather or maybe friend, a daughter or a sister or a brother or a host of others? Can I say to you, they are in that great cloud of witnesses, friend, and they care. I want you to think for a moment about someone in heaven and they see you get close to their family member that's lost. Can you imagine, preacher, Brother Frederick, can you imagine as they cheer in heaven, tell them about Jesus. Witness to them. Come on, tell them. That's my daughter. That's my son. That's my daddy. Maybe you're part of the same family, and there's family up there that's in heaven, and they're hoping you'll be the witness. Maybe it's somebody that lives on the same street as you. Maybe it's somebody that you work with every single day. Maybe it's somebody you pass at the store. Maybe it's somebody that's pumping gas on the other side of the gas pump. And there's somebody in heaven that sees you, and they know you're a Christian, and they're cheering you on. You can't hear them, but they're saying, please tell them! Please tell them! Please tell them! Joe Henry Hankins tells the story of a man that needed help during the Depression. The man came to his office and told Dr. Hankins, he said, I've never asked for money before, preacher. He said, but I need help. Brother Hankins said he believed the man was genuine and he gave the man what he needed. The man began to turn and walk away, and the preacher said, I'm doing this for you in the name of Jesus, my Lord. That man stopped. He turned around and he said, nobody's ever said that to me in my life. The man began to cry as he told the story of his mother that had died 5 years before. He told Dr. Hankins, he said her last words were, Jack, promise me that you'll meet me in heaven. He told Dr. Hankins, he said, preacher, I'm doing everything I know to do to be saved. He said, I don't think I can be saved. The preacher got his Bible. Dr. Hankins, a great man of God, said, come over here and sit down. Let's get your mother prayer answered. He opened that Bible up and showed him how to be saved. And Brother Eric, that man trusted Christ as his Savior. Now on the other side, I want you to think about what was going on. I have to believe, preacher, that God let that mama see what was going on. The Bible said over there, it said that there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. So I got a feeling in my heart that that mama's sitting there. She sees Dr. Hankins. She sees her boy as he walks into his office. And she's probably thinking, oh, please tell him about Jesus. Oh, maybe this is the day that my boy will get saved. Maybe this is the day he'll trust Christ. Can you see her? As she's watching Dr. Hankins open up the Bible. And as he begins to read the Bible to him. Can you see that mother as that boy bows his head and trusts Jesus Christ as his Savior? You say, what happened? I'll tell you what happened. There's a mama on the other side that was running and shouting through glory, friend. My boy just got saved. My boy just got saved. They care. They care in heaven. I got one more and I'm done. Grace, you can go to the piano and start playing softly. God cares. Jesus cares. The Holy Ghost cares. Those in heaven care. We better care. Who cares if they go to hell? We better. The Bible said in Ezekiel 33:8, listen. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. It's their fault they went to hell. No, it's our fault. We didn't tell them. According to Acts 20:26, wherefore he said, I take you to record this day. Here's what Paul said. that I am pure from the blood of all men. That's a pretty good statement. Can we say that? Church, to be pure from the blood of all men means that you have given them warning as the God of heaven told you to give them warning. Now hear me. Hear me, listen. We can't make them get saved, but we can warn them. We can tell them. That track rack out there, I'm not scolding you, I'm just saying something. That track rack out there ought to be empty after every service. Because we're telling. When's the last time we, as God's people, cared for sinners and took that Bible and put it in somebody's hand? I want you to know for sure if you died, you'd go to heaven. Do you know that you're saved? Can you take a moment and show you how you can know you're on your way to heaven? When's the last time? Dear friend, we better care, because if we don't, Judgment Day is going to be a bitter weeping day. And their blood is on our hands. Here's what the Bible said. 2 Corinthians 5:11, he said, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." How many do we know that we've not warned? Who cares if they go to hell, preacher? God cares. Jesus cares. The Holy Ghost cares. Those in heaven care. And we better care. I want to ask this morning, is there anyone here? Let's all bow our head, close our eyes. The altars are always open, I believe. Is there anyone here that say, "Preacher, if I die today, I don't know for sure I'm saved." Anyone like that? You slip your hand up. Pray for me, preacher. Anybody like that? If I died today, I don't know for sure I'm saved. Pray for me. Anyone like that this morning? Anyone like that this morning? Preacher's coming. What about it, church? Do we care for sinners?